I've titled my talk this morning, and it's not a long talk at all, "The Families of Young Children Will Be Glad to Hear Again." Once for all. 32 years ago, tomorrow, I walked down the aisle of Carrie Duff Presbyterian Church, which is a church, small town, just outside Belfast. I walked down the aisle with my dad, and we met the bridegroom, Brian, at the front of the church. We made our vows to each other before God, and we were united in marriage. We left the church, Dr. and Mrs. Chestnut. Now that was a one-time event. I will not be marrying Brian again. I can say what I want, he's in Belfast. It was a one-time event, but it had huge implications for our lives. And that event stemmed for our love for each other, and we committed ourselves to love one another. Now, almost 30 years later, Good Friday 2005, I encountered Jesus Christ for the first time. And a love relationship began then as well. And that one has utterly transformed my life. It was another once event. But the implications and the effect of that one-time event are ongoing and they're all-encompassing. All right? It just affects who I am, what I do, what I say, everything. I experienced God's love for me, and I committed myself to loving him forever. Now, we're in Christmas. This is the official Christmas period. And in the Nativity story, we stand at the beginning of the greatest once for event for all time. It changed the course of history and has the potential to change all of our lives. Hebrews 9:26, Jesus has appeared once for all. Christ was sacrificed once, verse 28. Jesus entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood. And Hebrews 10:10, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This once event stemmed from God's great love for us, and it has huge implications for your life and for mine. Our Bible readings this morning, we've got Jeremy is going to start us off, and then Jackie, two fairly short readings, one from the Old Testament leading up to Matthew from the New Testament, telling a little bit of the story. Jeremy, I have it printed out for you if you...
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light. And kings to the brightness of your dawn. It's Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3.
Thank you. And Jackie?
Thank you. So it's Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, and it's called "The Magi Visit the Messiah." After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for that this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
I asked Ian to seek out songs or carols with the theme of light or stars in them. And the stories that I've chosen, and the Isaiah passage again, is that theme of light through it. And I was looking just to draw our attention to the star guiding the wise men in the nativity story. Because following the star is always a key element of any nativity play that we see children, and of course it's a key element of the story, the birth narratives that talk about Jesus' birth. Now, the night sky has always fascinated me. I've seen the Milky Way a few times. I don't know if any of you have, but I would guess most of us. I'm fairly sure I've seen it in Scotland at least once. If you get a clear night sky, you're not in the city. And while Brian and I were dating in the mid-80s, it's dating me, I think it was 1986. Does anybody know the name of the comet that came past then? Halley's Comet, yeah. Yeah, it was a date night. We went and we spotted it along the horizon just before it disappeared. And there's something really magical in looking out at Halley's Comet and seeing something that was just going to pass one time in 70 odd years, and it would not be back again until 2060. I would love to see the Northern Lights. Never managed that yet, but yeah, that's on my wish list of things to do. But actually, when I was thinking about this story that we have here today, I can't help but look at it and wonder, you know, is that star still visible in our skies? You know, what was it? And I've always kind of got a bit hung up on this star. And then it always brings me back to a part from John's Gospel. Can we have the next verse, the next slide up, please? Thanks. John 1, verses 3 to 5. Through him, that is Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And that just draws me to the fact that actually all of the stars are his. He made them all. He who was here at the very beginning and created the universe is the same one who came to be born in Bethlehem. He is the same one who sent the star to guide the wise men, the Magi. From Almighty God, creator of the universe, He came as a vulnerable baby, cared for and loved by a teenage Mary, from such strength to such vulnerability. And I just love that idea that this vulnerable baby is actually God made flesh, is the one who created the universe, the stars. And I've got a short video, which is not a faith related. It's actually produced by the monster that is Google, all right? And I'm going to encourage you to watch it. If you're quick, but it's quite fast moving to start with. There's distances involved, all right? You can see them on the screen, and it moves quite quickly to give you an idea of scale. Jeremy, thank you. Yes, we could put it on again at the end. That's fine. There's no problem. The heavens declare the wonders of the Lord, but actually, so do you and I. We are just as much a reflection of God's handiwork as those most astonishing images, and I guess most of them must be computer generated. It's kind of mind-blowing. And I find there's a strange beauty to it, the fact that the bigger you get, it looks the same as at the atomic level as well. And I've always kind of wondered about that. But yeah, God has made not just the universe, but always the tiny parts of the universe as well. The microns, the quarks, the up and down things that I remember doing as a physics student many years ago. God created it all. The big stuff, the galaxies, and the little stuff, the electrons, you and me. And actually, it doesn't really matter which star we try and focus on when we're trying to work out which star directed the wise men to the stable in Bethlehem. What matters is that we recognize that that baby in Bethlehem is indeed the bright and morning star, Revelation 22. He brings eternal light into darkness of a world that has rejected its creator, and actually this world has welcomed spiritual darkness. So if you're sitting at the end of 2019 and actually that giving thanks that we did earlier and just chatting through, you found was quite a struggle at times. And actually, if you are thinking back that your year has had patches of real darkness in it, then maybe, you know, one of the things you can do is just remind yourselves to turn towards the light, turn towards Jesus, asking for his help, his rescue, and his salvation. And so, I don't know what the forecast is for Tuesday night, but as one year ends and another begins, if we are blessed with a clear sky that night, I encourage you to get outside, to look up to the heavens, and to wonder at the stars in the universe, and turn your heart, your mind, to the baby in Bethlehem. And with the wise men, with the shepherds, I would encourage you to kneel in worship of the shepherd and the one true king, the creator of all things, who loved us so much that he came to be the light, shining a torch of love into the darkness of this world and showing us the way to the Father. And then I encourage you to go and tell others about it too. And what if you're left thinking with that? I can't do that. God can't use me. I'm not clever enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not eloquent enough. I'm not smart enough to be used by God. Well, this is where we kind of segue into the all-age segment. I've brought some hats along with me today to illustrate a point. Can I just say I'm letting you off lightly, okay? You have no idea how many more hats there are in my house lying on the floor. I have discovered that I have got something like six cowboy hats, okay? Right? That's just cowboy hats. I have not brought them all along. So if we go back into the giving thanks bit, okay, just be thankful that I didn't bring all the hats along, okay? And you just need to engage with this, and then, yeah, it'll be over. Right. They're pretty smart hats, I have to say. I'm going to remind me to tell you at the end why I've got all these. Okay, how are we going to do this? Everybody who volunteers is going to be given a hat to wear, and we need to work out what the job is, okay, that goes with the hat. And I don't care what you come up with, really. It would be good if I had a helper to give out hats. Anybody would like to? James, would you like to help give out hats? You might need to leave your cup down. Is it empty? Right, who's going to volunteer to be... Can I just say this is about the king or queen of all hats? There we go. Very back. You go and bring that one down there. And then come back and get another hat. You need to put it on. Okay, this one's lost. It's. Do you know, if you think there's something that might suit you, I would volunteer soon because... Yeah, I thought that might happen. Yeah. Do you want that one instead? Okay, right. Okay, we need somebody who would like to be this cowboy hat. I would say I would wait. You might find another hat. There we go. At the very back. Excellent. Right, up you come to the front. Okay, now we're going to go. This is, I'm telling you. Okay, right. Jonah would like to be the shark. You want to be a shark? Well, Jonah's going to be a shark. He was first. There we go. Fantastic. Okay. Are there any English here? Well done. There you are. You give that to Julie. You are Scottish as well. I'll take that, Julie. Okay. This one. Any volunteers? Excellent. Thank you very much. That's Cheryl. You go and give that one to Cheryl. She'll come up. You got the jester's hat? Okay, right. A pretty small jester's hat, this one. Okay, there's not everybody that's going to fit. Do you want that one? That's got more on it. Right, we'll just swap. Okay. Yay, would you like that one? Oh, fab. Right, this one's mine. I don't mind wearing that. It doesn't knock my hat off. Okay, this one's pretty sophisticated. Oh, a bit of booing. Oh, we're gone. Anyone volunteering to wear it? Okay, you can choose somebody. Yeah. Yeah. You all have that? If that's the case, then there's one for your good lady wife as well. I'm sorry, Pina, but it could be a lot worse. Another cowboy hat? I think Andrew was asking for that one. He's just sitting there. Right. This one, we still to work out jobs for all these, so I hope you're working. Anybody volunteering to wear this cap? You can pick somebody then, James. There are so many hats. I'll tell you that later. It's actually a really odd story. Okay, we have... Sailor's hat. Yes, find a sailor's hat for us. Well, what about Jonah's daddy? No, Jonah's daddy. It's better than this one. We're nearly at the bottom. You could.
My head's way too big for this hat.
All right, okay. I think you might find the same with that one. And that's my last one. Right, yes, yeah, stretch, by all means, go ahead. Right, yeah, you pick somebody, and I pick Shona for Queen Shona. Right, okay, we need to sort out jobs for all of these. Soldier? Yes? Soldier? Stand up, turn around. Politician? I'm sorry, it had to be done, yes. Comedian, court jester. What are you? A soldier? A sailor?
Baby shark.
Baby shark. That's excellent. Hunter? Robin Hood? Yeah, we're looking.
Looking after the poor.
Looking after the poor, that will do nicely. Charity worker, excellent. Sailor, yes. Cat in the Hat. I thought that too. That's absolutely Cat in the Hat.
Apprentice prophet.
apprentice prophet. We have the royal family sitting over here. Cowboys, three of. Sleuth, detective. Dr. Watson, that will all do very nicely. You can sit down. I'll collect the hats back at the moment. Oh, I'm a milkmaid. Sorry. Yeah. Have I missed somebody? Oh, yeah. Weatherman. Weather girl. Yes. Jeremy's keeping his. Okay, I'll start off by telling you, because you will want to know, why have I got all these hats? A dear friend of mine developed, now she's about my age, and she developed alopecia. And she decided that she would wear a different hat every day of the year for an entire year. All right? And through it, to raise money for a young lad in Kilsyth, I think he is, who was looking for he uses a wheelchair, and he wanted one that enabled him to stand so he could, it's healthier to be able to stand for a while, and they're very expensive. And so every day for a year, she wore a hat. I have pictures of her wearing like Red Indian feather things in George Square, right? Everywhere she went normally, she wore one of these hats. And so she collected them through the year, and people gave them to her, and she bought some. And then at the end of the year, she was trying to sell them all to keep raising money for this young lad. And I said, oh, well, okay, I'll take a bag of hats. And these are the better ones that I've got. I've got some at home. Some of them, my children just say, Mom, that's just not appropriate. You're just not taking that out. But they're definitely not politically correct hats, not anymore anyway. So that's why I have all these hats. And I actually don't get to use them very often, as you might guess. The only ones occasionally that get out for an airing is somebody will say to me, oh, could I borrow a cowboy hat? Full range. How many would you like? But for the last few Sundays, we have been talking about how God used Mary, how God used the shepherds, a group of excluded people who really were not welcome in the temple and in amongst the Jewish leaders. Yes. And how he also used the intelligent magi. He used the wise men, their ability to read stars, to follow the star, to find the baby. And there's more than that. Verse 13 of what we read today, God warned Joseph in a dream. Now, actually, Joseph says almost nothing throughout all the birth stories. He is really quite a silent character. And this is the only bit. God speaks to him in a dream. It's the only bit. And he doesn't really speak his words. He speaks the words that God has given him. Joseph had a role to play too. The poor carpenter is given a vital dream that actually saves the Holy Family. And so, no matter what occupation you have, no matter if you're a cowboy, a weather person, if you're a sailor, a politician, whatever, all right? No matter how rich you are or how poor you are, no matter whether your accent is Queen's English or Glasgow Best or Northern Irish, I would add, no matter your gender, no matter your age, no matter your color, your ethnicity, where you're from, God wants to use you. We will not all have the same role to play. God has made each one of us individual, and we each have gifts that we can use for him, for his kingdom. But each one of us is invited to bend the knee, to offer up what we have in his service. And I would encourage you, join in with that one-time event. Choose to say yes to whatever it is that God calls you to do. Amen. I'm going to suggest... Oh, I have to pray now. Sorry. Yeah. But what we'll do is, at the very end of the service, while we sort of begin to break up for coffee and things, we'll put the film on again, and then whoever wants to watch it can do so. Yeah. But let's pray together. I've still got the hat on. Let's pray together. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Almighty God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that the creator of the world, of the universe, of planets, of galaxies, is also the creator of us, the one who actually wants to have a relationship with each one of us. And that it was in coming to a stable in Bethlehem that journey started. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came. He humbled himself, that he came as an infant, that he was cared for by Mary and Joseph and by the community around, and that he was raised up to be a man. Jesus, you call each one of us to turn away from darkness and to turn towards your light. And we say yes to that. We choose to do that today. We choose to step into the stable, to gaze upon you, to bend the knee, to worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in all of our lives over 2019. And we look forward to what you will do for us as individuals, as a church family, as White Inch, as Glasgow, for Scotland. We look forward to seeing what you will do in 2020. Be with us now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.